and one. And we are here today because of the brave men and women who fought for the freedom and the power of Almighty God, who directed the founding fathers and those that would trust in Him for a place that people could come and live free in the presence of Almighty God. If you love God and this nation, would you stand to your feet for a moment, if you can, as we pray today and give thanks to God. Father, we are grateful and we are thankful for this nation. But Lord, above all else, we are grateful and thankful for your providential grace upon it and upon the people who have led it, those that have fought for it to bring the freedom. And Lord, when we know that our ultimate freedom is in Christ, and yet our trust in you today, to that your will can be continued to be done in this nation, on earth, as it is in heaven, that's our prayer. We give you the praise and give you the glory. May the men and women that serve this nation continue to be protected and used by you. So Lord, to continue to bring the freedom, we pray that every enemy that will be put down, both within and without, so that freedom can continue to ring. May we learn and know of the wonderful grace that you've given us. May we proclaim it in the name of Jesus and live in it and help others do the same. And for all of this, we thank you for our freedom in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Praise God. Why don't you give your neighbor a handshake, a high five, hug the neck and say, let freedom ring today. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Well, today we're going to continue the series we began a new year with. It's already in July, but for all of you that I'm your pastor and you're part of this church, you know that many times I preach series. So what does that mean? I go long. Praise the Lord. I tell my staff sometimes it's kind of like having a baby, although I don't know what that is. It's like when I start on a message, I get pregnant with that message and it always keeps growing. Praise the Lord. But how many know that God really does want us to be able to understand, to take the limits off? And to explain that, for once again, or for those that may be joining with us today, both online and in house for the very first time, this series is really about identifying and removing the things that limit and hinder God from working in our lives. How many know that would be pretty important? Secondly, it's about teaching us how to step in everything that God has, to step into everything that God has for us, so that we can be all that God called us to be. But how many know that God wants us to walk both in freedom and in victory? Amen. And what we've learned from the scripture is that it's not really a question that can we limit God from working in our lives, because we know He can, we can, but really how we limit God. And so this series is, there's so many people that just think that God can do anything He wants to do, but we found from the scripture that's very unscriptural. That doesn't happen that way, and that neither does that really what the sovereignty of God means. We've taught some of those things. But not only does the scripture teach that we can limit God from working in lives, that's why we want to remove those or take those limits off, we need to know how those things can happen. And so two great scriptures that we've looked at in Psalm 78, verse 41, here's what it says in the Old Testament. It says, "And yea, and they," and how many know that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's the Lord that changes not. So just because it happened in the Old Testament doesn't mean that that can't happen today, because we're going to find for the New Testament the same thing. "Yea, and they turned back," this is talking about the nation of Israel, God's own people, "they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So this teaches us very clearly. We looked at some of the ways that the children of Israel did that. And now, once again, we're looking at ways that we can do that. Another great scripture that lets us know that is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, "Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think." Unfortunately, that's where most people stop when they quote this verse. But notice it doesn't stop there. It says, "According to the power that works within us." So whether God is able to do, he's able to do, just because he's able to do something doesn't just give him the ability to do it in our lives. It's according to the power that works within us. Can I get an amen? So this verse 20 tells us the release of God's unlimited power working in our lives has a condition. It's according to the power that works in our lives, and we found that power in that works in our lives is our faith in God. And our faith in God is always about us trusting him. So trusting God, trusting in his word, taking him at his word is what faith in God is. And this is the power that is to work within us. How many know, or we should, that this verse along with others specifically reveals God's ability to do great things in our lives by the power that works within us, our faith. Now, they're not going to put these two verses up for time's sake, and I always encourage you to take notes. I'll always encourage you to take notes. Why is that so important? Because this isn't a one-and-done thing. We need to honor the Word of God. We need to be studious. The Scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Matter of fact, the attention we give to the Word shows the honor we give to the Word. And so we need to be studious people. Amen. A lot of times people say, "Pastor, you talk so fast that I can't take notes." Amen. And I get that. I understand that. And I probably won't slow down for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. However, it is still good to write the verses down. You can do that. And it's also not only as important of what I say, but what the Holy Spirit, who's active, working, who is the real teacher, saying to you, you can write down in conjunction with that. I would encourage you to do that. Because really, how we honor the Word is how we really are honoring God. And to the degree that we are hungry for it, open to it, and want to hear it, will be the degree that that understanding will come to us. If we show little value to it, very little in return is going to come. So this is why I say it is good. You say, "Well, I've never done that before. I didn't even take books to school." This is a school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate till you die. But although some of you use it every day, you know, like calculus and those kind of things, I get that in your job, you can use that. But whether you do or you don't, this word you're going to use every day in your life if you're going to be a successful Christian. You may or may not use calculus or all the findings that you went to school to learn about, but you will need this because it's going to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about that there's scriptures that reveal that our faith in God puts God's power to work for us. And I said this, here's two scriptures to write down that I'm not going to put up. First of all, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Yeah. If you can believe. And so faith is conditional upon what we know and what we believe, but it can work if in our behalf. All things are possible. In other words, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all beyond all we can ask, think, according to the power of faith that works within us. Also, we find this. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, write it down, "If you have faith, nothing shall be impossible to you." That's what he said. That means if our faith is working, God's power will be in our life. Come on. This is why this is so important. And this is why we must go over these things, because I want, as your pastor, And God certainly does his power to work in our lives. But it won't just work because God is God and he's omnipotent. It'll work in conjunction with the power that works within us or our faith in God. That also means if there's no faith working in us, God's power won't be. So something we've also learned and always need to remember is this, how God works in our life. And here's how God works. God works in our lives through knowledge. He works in our lives. So many times people just wonder, how does God work? How does God do? He works, write it down, never forget it, go over it often. He works in our lives through knowledge. Amen. His knowledge, the knowledge of his word in our lives, what we know and believe about him allows him to work in our lives or prevents him from working in our lives. What we know and believe about God either allows him to work in our lives or prevents him from working in our lives. So forget it that he just arbitrarily does everything he wants to do. Let me tell you something, what he wants to be done above all else, and it doesn't always happen. And that is for every person to be saved. Why? Because in order for every person to be saved, people have to know the gospel and receive it. They have to want Jesus. Although it's God's will for none to perish and all come to repentance, for all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that's God's number one will. His number one will doesn't happen. Not automatically it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with us, without people knowing it and receiving it. So this, once again, I say those things so that we understand how God works. He doesn't do just anything he wants to in our lives. People say, well, if God wants me healed, he'll just heal me. No, he won't. No, he won't. No, he won't. He's waiting for you to know what his word said and for you to believe that. Same is true with salvation. Same is true with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Same is true about your prayers being answered. You say, well, you know, I never believed God about anything and this happened. That's because somebody else prayed for you. There are things that can happen to you that because other people pray for you. Amen. In other words, God can open your heart and mind so to prepare you. But ultimately, you know what? Before I got saved, I grew up in church for 24 years of my life and thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But in the age of 24, 1986, March the 30th, I heard a message and I realized I had done God my own way. And my way was the wrong way. A false way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I was headed for death and destruction and didn't even know it. I was darn in the church door almost every week, but didn't have a relationship with God. I had my own version of God, like many Americans and many people do. Until you find out exactly what the Word says so that you can actually believe what God says and do it the way that God says to do it. Amen. And so the point that I was making was, even though that I had someone was praying for me so that the blinders would come off of my mind so I could understand the gospel. So I could hear it in a way with my heart, not just this ear and come out the other and be thinking about what I'm going to do this afternoon when I get out of this place. Come on. It confronted me and helped me to see what God wanted me to see so that I would not be lost but be saved. And this had everything to do with someone praying for me. And so, remember this, church, God always works. And if we want to know how God works in the earth, how he works in our lives, in particular, he works through knowledge. His, what his word says, and what we know and believe about him. That's what faith is. What we know and believe about him. And he always works through faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it gives us a great illustration of this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Here we go. The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice, according as His divine power. Notice how His divine power is connected to our knowledge of Him. According to His divine power, hath giving unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we get all that divine power and all those things He's given? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Those promises reveal His knowledge, or are revealed by His knowledge, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't that good? And so this lets us know, once again, this is why it's so important, where this, we take this seriously. We take the words that I'm teaching. Listen, don't take my word for it just because I'm saying it. If I'm not telling you what this word says, then throw it out. But weigh what I say by this word, because this word is and always will be God speaking to you and I. And if you can find it here, you better take order for it, because one day we'll stand before Almighty God and He won't change His mind then, just like He's never changed it before. He said it and that settles it. And so He's telling us how we can walk in victory and how we can walk in freedom. So today what we want to do is pick up where we left off in this series a few weeks ago. And what we're doing is identifying the enemies of our freedom and our victory. Amen. And so they can be removed. So today's message, for those that are taking notes, is just going to be entitled Enemies of Our Freedom and Victory. Enemies of Our Freedom and Our Victory. Although, you know, the scripture lets, I mean, we should know that we have natural enemies. But the Bible focuses on, like in Ephesians chapter 6, just write this down. For we, in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The Bible teaches that the wickedness in the earth comes from a spiritual influence in the heavenlies. We, our real battle is not with other persons, as one translation says of Ephesians 4:12, but those spiritual forces that shape life on this earth. And so people are, get it straight, never forget it. You are either being influenced and acting for God or being influenced and acting for the devil. There's no middle or gray line. It's just that simple. When you say that, people don't like it. They say, what do you mean? Well, you're going to find out in a minute. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You choose. But you, if you don't know that, then you just think, well, I'm American. I'm just a good old boy. You know, I've not killed nobody. So I'm going to go to heaven. Everything's all right. Well, you're basing you getting to heaven on what you have or haven't done. In other words, about as all of that you're doing is you're measuring by your works and your standard. Unfortunately, that standard never works. But the scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard of God. So all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fallen short of God's glorious standard. So what we have to find out is what God's glorious standard is and get there. And the truth is, God's glorious standard is in not a thing, but in a person, Jesus Christ. And it's only our faith in Him that gets us to that place. And that you know, God didn't make it hard, but He made it specific. You know, people say, well, you're narrow-minded. Narrow means God is specific. There's a way to eternal life, and that is narrow, is specific. But the way to destruction, God said, Jesus said, is broad. You can get there by doing nothing but what you want. But how many know that won't work? It won't work good for you. And so this is why there's people, listen to me, I'm talking to somebody now. This is why people have invited you to church. This is why people have witnessed to you, so you don't end up like I was, lost and undone, and like you are without Christ. All of us are without Christ because people care about you. They don't want to see you. It takes hearing what God says in order to change our heart and minds. But I can tell you, people do care, and that's why they are telling you those things. That's why they invited you, because many times we just think, oh, we're all right. You know, we're a pretty good old person, and you know, don't bother me with that religious stuff. I don't believe in religion. Well, let me help you there. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that by which you can be changed by. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about religion either. I'm talking about a relationship. And so what today we want to talk about before, because I'm not sure how far we're going to go today. Praise God. But before we uncover and reveal more new enemies that we must remove out of our life, I will remind you of the first enemy we left off with when we talked about this last. And the reason why this is so important to be reminded of it, I'm going to tell you, before I tell you what that enemy that I remind you, the only one we covered so far of your enemies of your, what? Of your freedom and your victory. We need to, if it's an enemy of our freedom and victory, we need to remove it. Blessed be God. And the reason why we're going to view it is because I'm going to ask, open book test, what was that one enemy we talked about? Woo! Okay, big buzzers go off. And then first of all, for all those online, God bless you. Amen. So here's what happened. There was a cricket moment. No answer. And then it were several answers, and I applaud those. They could be enemies, but it's not the one that we covered. This is why I said it's an open book test. This is why somebody, and you know what? Somebody that was, they could turn back in the notes and say, oh, it was the enemy of, and you know what that enemy was? The first enemy, praise God, that we talked about. Let's put up slide number one. Enemy number one is deception. And this is why we're going to talk about this very briefly again before moving on today. The first enemy, and the only one that we've dealt with so far, is deception. We must understand that Satan, he's real. God is God. Satan is real. Satan is not bigger than God. Amen. Matter of fact, just for a history lesson, okay, Satan was originally Lucifer. God created Lucifer as an angel to serve the kingdom of God and the people he would create. He rebelled against God and said, I'm going to be God. How many know that didn't work too good for him? And so now we know him as cast out of heaven. We know him as Satan. And the scripture lets us know that Satan is behind all deception. As the scripture calls him the deceiver of the whole earth. Write it down. Revelation 12:9 says he's the deceiver of the whole world. And then in John 8:44, write this down, Jesus called him a liar, the father of lies, and declared he was a murderer from the beginning. Satan, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Satan really knows he can't defeat the church that walks close with God, only deceive it. In other words, I'm going to say it again. He knows he really can't defeat the church that walks close with God, but he can only defeat it, only deceive it. So this is why, put this slide two up, why Smith Wigglesworth said, if the devil can't deceive you, he can't defeat you. And so the number one way he's going to try to keep you, blind people's minds from knowing what the truth is, so you have your own truth. And your truth, if it's not lined up with the Word of God, is not truth at all. It's a lie. It's a substitute, and it will not work. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation today. If you follow along with me, here's what it says. Don't be intimidated by those, that's the wrong verses. Find for me verses 1 and 2. Now, everybody say, we love the sound booth. Because if you had to read my writing, then you know why they got 12 there, not 1/2. So let's put up 1 Timothy chapter 4. I can't turn to it because I don't have it before me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 from the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. Doom, 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 doom. That's all right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God here. The Holy Spirit has explicitly revealed. Here it is at the end of the age. How many know we're living at the end of the age? Jesus said we are. And many will depart from the true faith one after another. Look at your neighbor and say, that ain't going to be me. That many ain't going to be you, because I'm praying for you and you're learning what the truth is, so you're not going to be deceived and fall away. But the scripture says many will depart from the true faith one after another, devoting themselves to spirits of deception and following demon-inspired revelations and theories. So listen, that's not just means there's going to be thoughts between your two ears that are wrong. It includes that, but let me tell you how those thoughts are going to come. Verse 2 tells us. It says, verse 2 says this. Here's how they come. Hypocritical liars will deceive many, and their consciences won't bother them at all. In other words, they're going to be people that think they're right and they're totally wrong. They're going to stand and oppose the true word of God. The hypocritical liars. In other words, God says that the devil is going to use people in the last days to deceive many. This is why it's important who you listen to, what you hear, what you follow after. Because this verse gives us a clear warning. The devil uses people. Now, I know we don't like to think that way, but I can tell you the number one way people get off and led astray is through others. Is through others. And so we got to watch out. We got to watch out. We got to watch out. That's why we have to always go back to the Word. What does the Word say? Listen, deception's target or goal is always to destroy your faith in God. To always make you question God's Word. And if you aren't trusting God's word, your faith isn't working and God's power is limited in working in your life. That's why deception is an enemy to our freedom and victory. So what would be our answer? What would be the solution? The solution is God's word and knowing it. The solution is truth. And remember, write it down, Jesus told us what truth is. And in John 17:17, it says, thy word, O God, is truth. So truth is not something, truth is someone, Jesus Christ and what he has said. Always remember that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the next slide 3, and let's look at enemy number 2. This is a new enemy that we're going to be talking about in this series, and it is the lack of knowledge. And that would naturally be, you say, that's so simple. Well, you know what? The truth is, we miss simple things. To think about this, Jesus taught in such simple ways. I mean, he talked to uneducated alike. He made it so simple that anybody could really understand it. He really did. And he didn't talk about over people's heads. The truth is that the reason why people didn't get it is because their hearts were hardened. They didn't believe in him. And when you don't believe in him or someone, the messenger, you won't receive the message. I can just tell you. You just won't. And it's important that we understand that Jesus taught in a way where which people could understand. And when people were open, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit worked and moved like he should to unveil, to reveal what he was saying and bear witness with their hearts so that they would understand what the truth is. So this enemy number 2, the lack of knowledge, should be pretty natural for us to understand based upon what I said at the beginning, that God works in our lives through knowledge. Since God works in our life through knowledge, what we know and believe about him, then naturally a lack of knowledge of God's word would be an enemy. A lack of knowledge of God's word. Well, you say, let me say it like this. There's hope for every person in this room, no matter who you are here today. When I got saved in 1986, I didn't know one scripture. Come on. People think I've always known the Bible. Always done. When I got saved, I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know I always say this. I didn't know the difference between psalms and palms. I thought it was palms the whole time. Come on. You think I'm... I didn't know there was the book of Job instead of the book of Job. Come on. I didn't know anything about the Bible. The reason I say that is because so many times people feel overwhelmed when I say, you must learn the Word of God. Well, when you understand the value of the Word and understand you learning it is crucial for your victory, then it won't be a chore. It'll be something you'll dive into. You'll disregard other things to spend time with that because you know how valuable that would be for our victory. And it's still being offended that God chose through the foolishness of preaching and through His Word for you to know Him, still to be offended by that, just be glad that you know what the answer is. And God gave us an open book test. And what we do is come to church to learn where to look and learn how to use it and apply it in our lives. That's why we must come back, because it's 66 books. There's a lot in there. And it's impossible to be able to teach it all in one setting. Even though I try sometimes. As you well know, I'm just jokingly say that. And so we have to understand at where this is so important. So this lack of knowledge is an enemy. Hosea 4:6 says it like this: my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We'll stop right there for a moment. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people, not the world. The world has already got are taken captive by the devil. But Jesus, the Word of God says here, God Almighty is saying, my own people, the people that are called by my name, those that I've saved are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In other words, a lack of knowledge of God's Word. Or you could say like this. The Bible puts it really politely, lack of knowledge. In other words, you're ignorant of what the Word says. And see, people, I say that, and I try to say that kindly, but we can be... Lack of knowledge means you're ignorant of what the Word, and the Scripture in specific places says, I would not have you ignorant. Three times Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. And so, it's very important that we do not be ignorant of God's Word. Can I get an amen in here today? Praise God. You know, Bible illiteracy is a killer. And I can tell you that there's an epidemic, not here, and not in a lot of good churches, okay? But the truth is that there's an epidemic called Bible illiteracy throughout the body of Christ. It shouldn't be. You could tell a person, you could say, hey, what's your favorite Bible? What's your favorite Bible verse? I don't know. Well, I'm believing God. What you standing on? Nothing in particular. Guess what they're going to get? Nothing in particular. Come on, it can go on and on and on, but it shouldn't have to be. Come on, this is why, if I could do anything for you today is inspire a hunger and a thirst for God's Word. Because what we don't know is killing us. The word destroy here means, listen, it depicts, here's what the Hebrew word destroy means, it depicts a violent end. In other words, one that God doesn't want for your life. And it won't be God's fault. He said, knowledge will equal your freedom and your victory. A lack of knowledge will cause us to be destroyed. In our life, in violently. And Satan works hard to keep us ignorant of truth. If this is echoed in Isaiah 5, verse 13. In the King James Version, we're going to read it first. It says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Notice, they have gone into captivity. One translation says, they've gone into enforced banishment. In other words, that he was telling, Isaiah prophesied of a time when the people of God, the nation of Israel, will reject God, reject his word, reject his counsel, thought because everything was going all right, thought because them and their family are all right, oh, we had a good crop this year, we got some money in our pocket, you know, we go to the synagogue every now and then, come on. They thought, but they, listen, they never heeded the warning that the prophet brought to them. And they, and instead of keeping God first, they kept going their own way. And what they were judged and they were exiled into captivity because of their sin against God. Because they wanted their way more than God's way. So this is why it says my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. So let's apply that after we read it from the Amplified Version for us today. It says, therefore my people go into captivity to their enemies without knowing it. Without knowing it. Wouldn't that be like your enemy? You being taken captive without even knowing it. You being in bondage without even knowing it. There's so many people. Come on, you ain't got to look, Lord. People are hitting the bottle, hitting the crack pipe. Come on. They're selling their bodies, selling their souls, selling their mind, doing all those things, calling it fun. Doing it like there's going to be no end tomorrow for eat. Like the Bible says, eat and drink and be merry today, for tomorrow we die. Come on, like there is no afterlife, there's no God, there's no nothing. But when that happens, church, and it happens all the time, people are blinded to the reality of a spiritual realm that has blinded them without knowing it. They are in bondage. They can't walk away from that bottle. They can't walk away from that pipe or from that doobie or whatever. Boy, that's an old school. I ain't heard of a doobie in a long time, Pastor Chris. Meth or whatever, listen what I'm getting ready to say. I realize it ain't all the drugs in a cell at the back seat or a trunk of somebody's car either. It's some of the prescription medicines that people are in bondage to and all the different things or the screen that you can't get away from because of the illicit sex and the perversion that's there. Don't think that ain't an enemy. It's an enemy of your soul. You may be feeding your flesh, but the Bible says it's an enemy of your soul, and it'll drag you to hell. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he's mad at you. He wants you to know that's an enemy that's killing you. He's not. That is. And he says, because you don't know this, you are in bondage without knowing it, and because they have no knowledge of God. Wow. This is important because of no knowledge. In other words, we go on and captive. What are some of our enemies? So let's do it real nice to our church folk in here today. What are some enemies? Let's put it in it because this is a big category, sin. Come on, whatever that sin is, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. You keep giving attention to it and feeding it, it's killing you. And the devil wants you to think, oh, it's not hurting you and all that. But when you come here, listen, and you hear something like this, it said, damn, the pastor is condemning me. I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to awaken you to let you know that God wants to set you free. Come on. So sin, how about sickness and disease? They're enemies. Let me tell you, before man ever sinned, there was no sickness and disease. The foul offspring of sin is sickness and disease. And it's not God's will that we are in captivity to it. Let me tell you something. There's nothing good about sickness and disease. It robs you of your finances, your joy, your health, all those things. And don't tell me Pastor Chris, I just believe God did it. No, God didn't do any such thing. The devil did it. Wake up. And as long as the devil can think you, oh, well, you know, when that happened, I witnessed to so many people. You should be witnessing whether you're in the hospital or in the parking lot. Don't make any difference. But realize God didn't do that to you. Come on. Well, I just believe everything happens for a purpose. Listen, we've all believed that before, but it all does happen for a purpose. But the purpose may not be God's. You'll only know if it's God's. If it's come to give life and life more abundantly, it's God. If it's come to steal, kill, and destroy, it ain't God's. Well, I'm getting hot. I'm going to throw my coat here in a minute. Come on, we got all these kind of things. We got to weigh it by the word of God. And people are going into captivity to the enemies without even knowing it. Don't tell me there's a whole... Listen, the church world, I love the church world. But there's a lot of people you'll meet, you'll say, they think this is just my lot in life. I'm oppressed. I'm depressed. I'm bearing it for Jesus. This is my thorn in the flesh. They say all the kind of things they religiously heard from the pulpit. Or the devil's injected in their mind without weighing it by the word of God. Listen, really easy. If it's good, it's of God. If it's evil, it's of the devil. If it comes to give life and life more abundantly, it's of God. If it's come to steal, kill, and destroy in your life, it's of the devil, period. Hallelujah. Without the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God's word, you accept, because God is trying to teach, you accept that sickness. Because God is trying to teach me something. You know, I learned a lot through it, Pastor Chris. Yeah, you learn a lot through anything. You learned a lot when your child threw up and you realize that he can't eat that no more. Don't feed it to him. Come on, I'm not making fun. I'm trying. Listen, we can learn through anything. But just because you learn something, God wants you to learn what His Word says. So you're not confused about what He does and what He doesn't do. What He does and the devil does. Because if we think the devil done it, it's impossible to resist. If you think, the problem with you embracing sickness and disease. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, relax. And let me tell you why I relax, because I'm almost finished. I ain't going to give you another point today. Praise God. Relax. Here's why. Because if the devil can make you think that what's happening to you with sickness and disease, amen, oppression, depression, is somehow God teaching you, somehow God's behind it, God's teaching you a lesson, or it's something that, like I hear people say, it's something that I sowed early in life and I'm paying for now. Listen, if the devil can get you to believe that, the problem with that is you have no power over it. You won't resist it because you've been fooled. You've been taken captive without knowing it by your enemy. This is why this word is so valuable to you. I applaud... There's some young couples. I don't want to call people out because there's so many that are doing the right things. And yet there's times when they need to be called out, but just like I call out a person doesn't mean there's not many others that are not doing that. What about me? You forgot to say me, Pastor Chris. Take your thumb out of your mouth. Come on. No, praise God. But there's people that are doing this. They get hungry for God. And listen, you don't have to know a whole bunch. You just have to start doing what you know. See, here's what the problem with a lot of people. They say, I gotta know. I'd rather have you know two scriptures and do them than can tell me theology about five subjects and never use it in your life. And there's people, the important part about teaching that we do is it's not just what God said, it's how we take what God has said and apply it to our life. That's what changes us, church. As important as theology, your study about topics of God is, without it having an application to it, it does us little good. But this is why we talk about it with application. Because I believe in theology, the study of God, and the attributes of God. And although we need to know them, but we need to know how that affects us. Amen. So I'm trying to close, but you're doing really good. You're pulling. You say, well, I'm going to stop pulling. No, you don't. Come on. Because you want to receive from God. I'm almost finished. I said, I'm almost finished. See, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, write this down. Amen. Matter of fact, they're going to put it up. It says, awaken unto righteousness. He's talking to the church here. He ain't talking to sinners. He's talking to church. Waken unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to you shame. Notice, once again, he's talking to Christians. He said, you're going to church, and I you don't have a knowledge of God. So you, in other words, a lack of knowing Him. He says, I say this to your shame. It takes time to learn the Word. It takes time. That's why you got to come back. It takes time to grow in relationship with God, but you have to first have one. And then when people get them, just gets that relationship, let's be patient, let's be kind, let's walk in love, let's help people grow. That's why we say you got to come back. You got to keep your bohunkus in that seed is important, and you come with an open heart and a listening mind, and you begin to learn. Give me 1 year of your life, and every time the door is open that you can come, then you come. You take diligent notes, and then go home and look up those scriptures, mark up your Bible where they're at, study them, and then begin to apply them. And I challenge you, in 1 year's time, if your life isn't buttered and changed, you come talk to me. And you can say, you're a liar, Pastor Chris, but I ain't got one person ever said, you're a liar, because it's impossible to know and do God's Word, to destroy this enemy of our freedom and victory of lack of knowledge, and not be better off. He said, I say this to your shame. Some of you have not the knowledge. He didn't say all of you. And once again, there's different levels of maturity in the church. So we got to, when people get saved, don't think they're going to be perfect, because their spirits are new, but their flesh and mind, their mind's going to have to be renewed, and they have to learn to say no to their bodies. This is why they're still going to have some hang-ups and go mess up sometime. Doesn't mean they lost their salvation, but they need people around them that's going to pull them in the right direction in the knowledge of God, so they can destroy the enemy of their freedom and their victory. And we all play a part in that as a church. But if we're always looking down and judging them and saying, them knuckleheads, and it may be true that they are, but they're not going to grow that way. I think about a person that sit right over there in that second row for years. And he came, half the time he came high. Later, I didn't know he was high. I didn't know he was high. So I know some people probably knew that he was. But he didn't act high, but he did sleep a lot. Come on. Now listen, if you come high or drunk and you're disruptive and you're bothering other people, you're going to be asked to leave, because that's unacceptable. But if you come and you're not bothering anybody, I'd rather for that person to sit right there hearing the Word of God, because I know over time that Word is going to get into their hearts and change them. Their own testimony, they said this. They stood up before and they said, and I didn't even know. They said, I used to come, man, I was out of it, but, I could fake it really good. And I come and I heard, and my friends were telling me to come, and I didn't really always want to come, but I came. And then I remember, they said, but one day Pastor Chris did something. This is after like a year after he was coming. He said, Pastor Chris asked us to do something one day that he never asked us to do before. And I took his challenge. He said, I'm giving you homework tonight, and I'm asking you to read this portion of Scripture. Here's what his testimony. He said, I went home and did it. And when I read it, God spoke to me and delivered me. He stood up and said, I'm free today. Praise God, and went on and be a productive part of that congregation. Yeah. Praise God. So we got to realize that we're here to help people, encourage one another. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that people won't need to be corrected, just like your children. Yeah. If they act up, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what love does. Love just don't brush it and say, well, No, at some point, there's things that have to be said. But we're not pushing people away. We're letting them know the answer is here, and we want to get it to them. So if we don't know, as believers, if we don't know the Word of God, He speaks this to our shame. And here's why. Because we must know the Word in order to, listen, If we don't know it, we won't resist the enemies of our freedom and our victory. James 4:7, write it down. Submit yourself therefore to God. How are you going to submit yourself therefore to God? Through His Word. Come on, Betsy, you can help me. Submit yourself to God through His Word. That's how you do it. By obeying His Word, knowing and obeying His Word. And then it says resist the devil and his flee. It didn't say pacify the devil. It didn't say live in sin. It didn't say do the... No, you resist the devil. It means you got authority and power over him. One of the number one things that believers need to learn, even as a young believer, is you got just as much authority over the devil the moment you got saved as Jesus Christ has. Come on, I'm going to say it again. The moment you got saved, you got just as much authority over the devil as Jesus Christ does. The difference between Jesus and you is what you know. And it's what you do with what you know that sets you free. So what's the answer? Well, wherever the knowledge of God's Word begins and ends, so does our faith and God's power working in us. And because God's power within us works in our lives through our faith in Him, so it's easy to see then, by what we talked about today, that a lack of knowledge or ignorance of God's Word is an enemy to our freedom and our victory. Anybody can talk. If you don't know what the Word says and the benefits of what God's Word are, you can leave out here today and your friend just talk you out. Why are you going down there? You should have been with us today. It was fun on catching fish. It was fun on doing this. It was fun on sinning. They ain't gonna, it was fun. Oh, you're too good for us now. All those things will talk you out. And to some sense, in your mind, it will all make sense. And they will rub it, make it feel wrong. But when you know this, you weigh it by what they said, by this, what Jesus said. And then you say, wrong advice. Wrong advice. Wrong advice. Praise God. But it's by knowing what the Word says that's going to give you that power to be able to know that that was wrong, right from wrong, good from evil. Come on. Because the Scripture says we live in the last days, and it's a time where people call evil good, good evil, bitter sweet, sweet bitter. Come on. But it shouldn't be with us. The answer, church, to whether it's deception or lack of knowledge is God's Word, the truth, and knowing it. It is. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an example, and I'm close with this promise. James 1, verse 16 and 17. Now listen to what he said. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Here's what another translation says. Don't be fooled about this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no changing, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. See, the devil want to try to convince you God is trying to get rid of all your fun, try to take all the stuff away, trying to do this, that. He don't love you anyway. Matter of fact, he killed your mama. He killed your younger brother. All those kind of things he will tell you. But you studied by the Word of God, you found out that didn't happen. You found out there was a real enemy. It wasn't God, it was the devil. And he's not only trying to shape life on this earth, he's trying to shape you and mold you in that shape in his kingdom. Because the truth is, don't be fooled. There's only children of God and children of the devil. There's only light and darkness. Kingdom of God, kingdom of darkness. Good, evil. You're in one of those two kingdoms. And the good news is, see, here's what makes it easy. So many people, they would sit there when they're lost and they're not in the kingdom of God. They maybe, like I was, thought I was. But when I realized I had my own version of God and I hadn't done it God's way, I was quick to get out of my way to God's way. The devil for 24 years of my life convinced me I was right with God. But I had no scripture for that. I had nothing but my own imagination and my own version of God, which is dangerous. It's called a lack of knowledge, and I was already in captivity to my enemies without knowing it. That's why I thought everything that was happening in my life, I blamed on God. It was my lot in life. There's nothing I could do to change it. But once I understood that there, how to get in the kingdom of God, I didn't have a problem to say, I realized I was a sinner. I understood I wasn't right with God. If God had made it hard to make it right with Him, I couldn't have got there. All He's asking for is us to repent of our sins and invite Him into our hearts and our lives. And He changes us. The moment we do and put our faith in Jesus Christ, He takes us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of being Satan's child, out of being a child of the devil, and brings us over to the kingdom of God, recreates us, makes us new creatures in Christ, and begins to reveal us every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights. The only reason people don't do it is the number one reason. They don't know. They don't know. And I just destroy it. They don't know how. I've had too many people. I've had men pull up the sheet in the emergency room over their head and when I confronted them and crying. And I said, oh my goodness, what in the world? And when they finally pull it down, I said, what did I say? No, I want to do that. I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I just don't know how. And I said, that's why I'm here. And that's why we're here as a church. Not just me, as a church, we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. So I'm simply asking you today, don't live in lack of knowledge, because that is the enemy to your ultimate freedom and victory. Freedom from sin, freedom from everything that the devil will try to bring, sickness, everything else, and it's a freedom that gives you the victory in Jesus Christ.